Hey, it's good to have you guys here. And we're going to, when we have our prayer time here, when I pray, we're going to pray for our group that's down in Wilmington, North Carolina for life training, LT. And we've got people on vacation and so on. And we'll pray for people that are also not doing too well physically. So let's just go ahead and do that now. Let's go to prayer. Lord, thank you for just the opportunity to come into your presence. And like Charlie said, because of Jesus Christ, we can come right into your presence and without any hindrance. And we can take our request to you. And Lord, we just lift up the people that are serving you there in Wilmington, North Carolina at this youth conference. And I know a lot of times you don't get a lot of sleep there. And so we just pray, Lord, that regardless of maybe lack of sleep, that you would just reveal yourself to the youth there and the adults who are serving in a special way as they've set aside this week to know you better and to serve you and to get your gospel out in that area. Try to connect some people with that local church where they're serving. And Lord, we just pray too for people in our congregation who are sick and need your healing touch. God, we just ask and pray that you would, the great physician, you would touch their lives. And we pray, Lord, that they would know your nearness, even in their difficulty. And Lord, we just pray for those of us that are really struggling maybe spiritually and ask for your help. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, at any time we get together, for worship, you know, every person here could tell a story on how you came into this place today. Meaning, did you come limping? Did you come skipping? Well, probably nobody came skipping. But, you know, what was your heart condition like coming in here today? Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe, you know, you're just barely made it here. Maybe, you know, the kids were, you know, the enemy was working through your kids. And you know what I mean by that? Trying to get you to not be here. And so we find ourselves all come into this place when we gather together in all different kinds of states of mind, and our hearts are in different places. And this morning I really want to talk about, you know, our heart when it comes to corporate worship. When we come together like this, gathered as God's people, and talking about things that go on in our hearts and things that God wants to do in our hearts when we gather together. You know, when you think about it, a lot of times we come maybe with the expectation that I want to bring something to God, right? When I come to worship, I want to bring him something. And I understand that mentality. I suppose if anything, we want to bring him a surrendered heart, something that says, hey, Lord, my life is yours, kind of that Romans 12:1, you know, I offer him my body as a living sacrifice, in a sense, you know, where everything is just surrendered to him. I get that. But ultimately, we've got nothing, right? I mean, okay, maybe it's just me, but, you know, I'm not always on my A game. In fact, I'm usually on my F game, you know, I'm just not doing well. And so if I just waited for everything to be clicking spiritually to kind of decide that I'm going to show up, it's not going to happen. You know, when we gather together, if we kind of wait for just those proper spiritual feelings to come, it's not going to happen. And so it's really not about, in one sense, what we're going to bring to God when you come here. It's really about what God's going to do in us. Okay? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when God's people gather together, that he wants to do something in them? And it's amazing to me, right, that how God, through his Spirit, just individualizes a message to someone, right? Where we just know that sometimes God just speaks to us or encourages us or strengthens us or spiritually spanks us, if we can say that, right? When we need it, right? And so God does that. And so it's really about what he wants to do in us. And that changes everything, you see? So if we come to this place, if we gather together for worship, with the expectation that God wants to do something in us, then it doesn't matter like what our state of mind is in one sense coming through that door. It doesn't matter, you know, it's truly as come as you are, okay? And that's what the Lord wants. So this morning, you know, or any time we gather, we should not let the enemy, right, Satan, play head games with us and say, well, I'm not really in a good state to be there. No, well, you need to be there then. We really need him more when we're struggling, right, as much as we do when we're not. And so I just want to challenge our thinking a little bit. I had a challenge last week. Encouraged people to consider doing a media fast. How'd that go? Oh, yeah, I love that. Painful, wasn't it? All right, I heard about it. Some people texted me and said, man, this is hard! I'm like, yeah, I know. And so we did ours Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, yeah, there were times when I wanted to, you know, jump on some social media or something, but it really, all in all, I kind of feel like I didn't miss anything. And it was good opportunity that, you know, that the times that I had downtime, and when I would have normally just kind of flipped on the TV or something like that, I was reading, I know, okay, so I'm weird, all right. I read Spurgeon's lectures to my students, okay, where he had a pastor's college years ago, and I was reading on his thoughts about how you ought to select a scripture text for preaching. Doesn't that sound exciting? Okay. But that's what was feeding my soul. He was sharing his thoughts. And so, guess what? All week long, I struggled with the selection of scripture verse for today. All week long. And to this morning, I mean, all week long, I prayed about it. It was just, I don't know, I feel like God was like, okay, you know, it's just a struggle sometimes. And, you know, but what God wants to do with us, you know, so with the media fast, the idea was to guard our hearts, you know, get some time to seek the Lord specifically more than you would have. You know, the point wasn't to not watch TV and then go clean the kitchen or whatever. And if you did that, I'm sure that's fine, but I think the point was that you wanted to seek the Lord about what's in your heart, right? And sometimes I just wonder, I know I'm kind of going back to the message last week a little bit, but I just wonder if we're afraid what our hearts will tell us. And that's why we don't like it. And I just want to challenge you. If that's where you are, you need to go back there. You know, put this message on hold. Go back there because God wants to do some things, you know, and I really think that's the case, you know. You know, we need to stop making excuses and say, God, what do you want to do in my heart, right? And so it's all about the heart. That's what we've been talking about. And Charlie mentioned we've been talking about, you know, when it comes to the heart, we want to lead with our heart. We want to lead the heart, not let our heart lead us, right? And we want to make sure that we're guarding our heart. But when it comes to corporate worship, what are the things that God wants to do in us, you know, and that's just it. He wants to work on our hearts. And let me just say, some, you know, take a look at Psalm 51, if you have your Bibles, or if you've got your phone there or whatever you're using. Psalm 51. I just want you to know it's okay to come in here all messed up, okay? Because, on a certain level, we're all messed up, that's for sure, but I just mean when you're not feeling it, okay? Psalm 51, verse 17 says, "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." You see, God's all good with broken hearts, contrite hearts, broken hearts, you know? He's like, come on, right? And some days you're going to be rejoicing, and you will feel the feelings of excitement and happiness for the Lord, but other days you're going to be weeping, right? And that's why, you know, We don't want to fake it, right? When you come in here, when we gather together for worship, you want to fake it. And so that's why it's okay for some of us to just be really somber and say, God, you know, the song that we're singing right now, the words don't even compute with me. I mean, I know they're true, but in my heart, I'm not feeling that. Has that ever happened to you? You know, and so what we need to do is when we find ourselves in that place is just be honest with God. And what do you do when that happens? Well, you do what the psalmist did in Psalm 40, where he says, I wait on the Lord. That's what you do, right? You can't necessarily just flip a switch, right? And everything's all good when it comes to our feelings. And so, you know, so when we come and we gather and worship here, we just need to realize that, you know what? It's okay to have a broken spirit. You come before the Lord, right? And you just say, here it is. Here I am. What do you want to do? Right? Because it's about what God wants to do in us when we gather together. You know, Matthew 15, verse 8, take a look there in the New Testament. Verse 7, if you back up there, Matthew 15, 7, says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. He wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as God's commands. Of course, Jesus is rebuking the religious leaders, right, in that passage. But isn't it true sometimes, right, where our hearts are far from God? Right, and we just need to be honest about that. We come to God in corporate worship together. We should just, you know, be real with God and be real with each other about the condition of our hearts. And God wants to do things in us. He wants to change us. You know, when you take a look in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, where the Apostle Paul says, and I am certain, Philippians 1:6, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So God begins a work in us when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. He begins that and he's continuing it, and it's never going to be finished until Christ returns, right? This gathering is part of him continuing to make us like Christ. This gathering, when we worship, right? And now, I want you to think about worship not just as singing, right? Most everybody, well, a lot of people, I should say, think of, when you think of worship, they think of singing. Well, certainly singing is part of worship, right? But when you read the Bible, you realize that worship is much more than that. It's a whole life thing, right? When you read passages like in Romans, again, Romans 12:1, where he talks about that we would offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, you know, just that they would be used for God, right? And so, you know, just, you know, other verses indicate to us that there's more to worship than singing, okay? And certainly singing is a part of it. But when we come and gather to worship here together, he's trying to change us. So whether your heart is down here and you feel, keyword feel, far from God, or whether you feel really close to God, we got to come together expecting that God wants to do something in us. Right? That he wants to do something through the singing. That he wants to do something through the praying that goes on here. That he wants to do something through the Word of God. that he wants to do something through the fellowship, the interaction that we have, right? All those things happen when we gather. There's praying that goes on here, right? Whether I'm praying or you're praying silently or whatever, there's preaching that goes on, there's singing that goes on. You know, those aren't just like things we do because we've always done them. Those are components of where we're trying to connect with God, where we want to hear from him, where we want to let him do his thing on us, whatever that might be. Right? And so when you are excited, it's okay to say amen. Okay? You know, I heard somebody here say, woo, you know, and that's great. Just go louder. Woo! That's okay. You're allowed. You know? I'm Bapticostal. It's okay. You can do that. That's a Baptist and a Pentecostal all in once, kind of. We'll not get into that. But anyway, you know, and if you don't feel that, you should not feel compelled to do that. Okay? You bring God, you bring yourself to God and you say, I want you to do what you're going to do today in me. That's what you've got to say. Because what he started, now look, Philippians 1:6, what he started, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work. Who's going to continue it? God. It's not you. You're not going to continue the work he started. You can't make the changes without his help. Okay? You can't. We need God. We need God, and he does this in corporate worship. He does it in corporate worship. We have an example of how he does this in the worship setting. Take a look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I read a story this week about a woman who had, she had been flying somewhere, traveling. She came back to an airport, and she had a layover there. And so she's sitting at this cafe. She bought a bag of cookies, sat down at this, you know, these little cafe tables. There was another seat there. She sat down, and she had her bag of cookies. She put them in her purse. And then she bought a paper, a newspaper, and so she had the paper up. And before long, she heard this rustling, you know, and realized, kind of peeking around, that there was a guy that sat down across from her at this little cafe table. If that wasn't strange enough, she heard some more rustling and realized the cookies that were on the table, he started eating them. And she's freaking out. He's eating my cookies. You know, she's got the paper up there. She's not, you know, she's kind of like, you know, not sure what to do. Didn't want to make a scene, but just starting to think, you know. And then she saw his hand go down again. Heard this crunch, crunch, crunch. She's like, what is going on? And so then the next time she hears this rustling and she hears this guy break the cookie and feed her half the cookie underneath the newspaper. And then crunch, 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 ate his half. She's like, this is crazy, you know? And finally, this guy had gone up and left. She put her newspaper down, fuming, and realizing that her cookies were in her purse. His were on the table. He let her have one of his cookies, right? And it was all about her perspective, right? Her perspective. Once she realized, oh my gosh, you know, I was all upset about nothing. I had put my cookies in my purse. His were the ones on the table. And, you know, it's just, you know, you ever hear that word or phrase paradigm shift, right? It's just a totally different way of thinking about the same circumstances, right? would be one way to define it. And she had a paradigm shift once she realized, you know, had this aha, right? And God will sometimes, when we gather and he works on us, he'll help us see things from a totally different vantage point, okay? And so that's what I want to take a look at here. And this is really what happens in this situation. So we're talking about that, you know, God wants to do stuff in us when we gather together. He wants to conform us to our image, right? And this is just one example of what he does in worship. You take a look at Psalm 73. I'll be reading in the New Living Translation. It says, truly, God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. Do you think God's good? Some of you are thinking, all the time. All the time, God is good, right? God's good, right? You've been taught that. Hopefully you know some scriptures that verify that. Hopefully from your experience, you know that. But this is what he's saying. The psalmist says, and this is Asaph saying this, he says, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. He states a fact. And then he says, verse 2, but as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats, different translation, these fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil in their pride. They seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. He states a fact. God is good to his people. And then he says, but this is my experience right now. He's like, my experience. He's like, I almost lost my footing spiritually because I started looking at the people that were wicked and not living for God, and they seemed to be getting away with it. And so it says in verse 10, it says, and so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all of their words. And here's a quote. It says, these people are saying, what does God know, they ask? Does the Most High even know what's happening? You know, it's almost like these people's words, the wicked's words, are just saying, hey, I'm doing fine, you know, I'm doing my own way, doing my own thing, on God. You know, that's what the wicked are saying. And this person who wants to follow God and has been following God is having trouble. It says, look at these wicked people, verse 12, enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Verse 13, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. I mean, can you identify with this sometimes? I mean, you may not use these words, but sometimes we're tempted to think, why am I keeping on the straight and narrow? Why am I trying to do things God's way? Because it seems like the guy or the gal that's not doing it God's way is getting a better end of the deal. Verse 16, so I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. Now here's the turning point in this psalm, verse 17. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, he says, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. So he's saying, you know, when he got into the presence of God, when he went to the sanctuary, God showed him where their destiny was, where the destiny of the wicked was. He was not getting the right perspective until he went into the sanctuary, right? He was tempted to have a totally temporal view, if you will, just looking at the now rather than looking at the ultimate destiny of these people. And so when we gather together for worship, one of the things that God does, we can just see from this psalm, is he can change our perspective, right? We get his view on life rather than man's view. And so, and this is critical, right? I mean, think about how ticked off that lady was about the cookies, right? She's getting all worked up about nothing, ultimately. But she wasn't having the right perspective. She needed a different way to see things. She needed to see things from reality, right? And we need to see things from reality, right? And God gives us that view, right? As we go through different books of the Bible, we preach through different topics and so on, God helps us. He reveals things to us about truth and about the way life is to go, right? And so, and in this case, the psalmist got God's mind on the end. He realized that, you know, these people, they're headed for destruction. They might be having their heyday now, but in the end, it won't be a heyday. And so, this is one of the things that God does, that he gives us his perspective when we gather for worship. So it might be in the singing of a song. It might be in the preaching of the word. It might be in the fellowship with one another where he gives us that perspective, or he gives us that viewpoint of scripture that changes our heart, right? This guy's heart was not in a good place. He was struggling. He was honest, and he should be, and he was. But he's saying in the sanctuary, this is where this happened, in the sanctuary. And that's what we're saying. When we gather together for worship, God wants to do things in us. Right? He wants to do things in us. He wants to make our hearts more like Christ. Right? That's the Philippians 1:6. He started something. God is finishing it. God is doing that. You know, by the time he gets to the end of the Psalm 73, he says in verse 27, those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter. I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. Boy, how things changed from verse 2 to here, right? At the end of the Psalm. And you know, now we know that a lot of times that, you know, God doesn't change us in an instant, right? Sometimes he changes us over time, right? But this is why we come together. This is why we gather together, because God's working on us, right? You know, I was hearing Matt Chandler this week. He was who's a pastor down in Texas, and he was talking about how he was talking about his kids. You know, their physical growth. He goes, one day you kind of turn around and you realize, wow, you know, they're big. You know, or, you know, I was looking at someone's, well, it was Micah, little Micah, the Haycoxes had this little book of his first year. Just turned 1 year old not long ago. And to see him from this little baby coming home from the hospital to this 1 year old, it's like, you know, I'm sure every time they go up to the crib, they're not saying, wow, I think he grew like 1/16 of an inch, you know, or whatever. It's just, but now you look back 1 year, like, wow. But we grow kind of steadily, right? Yeah, sometimes God has these great breakthroughs, and there are these incredible moments even where God sets us free from something or he does this incredible thing. But I find that a lot of the growing is just done week by week, right? It's not this, woo, this huge jump in spiritual growth. and we expose ourselves week by week, right? We come to corporate worship. We say, God, you work on me. You change me. I want to see what you want to do in me today, right? And that's what he does. He, you know, if we are coming regularly into his presence, he will gradually change us. And again, sometimes instantaneously. There's no question about that. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You remember how Moses, right, when he met with God, his countenance was changed, right? His countenance was changed. Being in the presence of God had an effect on him, actually physically, right? He glowed, right? And so Paul is trying to tell us that, you know, in a sense, it's kind of like that with us now, you know, that when we see Christ for who he is, and as we worship here and we gather together in corporate worship, right, we hope that we have these encounters with the Lord, that he works on our hearts and we're transformed, right? And so it says in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3:18, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Right? You see, when we see more of Christ and we see who he is, we're transformed. We're transformed, right? And in fact, if you look up, I don't have to do it right now, but if you look up the Message paraphrase, it says that it's gradually. We're transformed gradually. Well, here it says more and more. That's the idea of it's gradual, right? And again, definitely have experienced the instantaneous changes sometimes that God does, right? But it's gradual, usually. It's gradual. And so when we gather together in worship, so one of the things he does, again, he's growing us through working on us. We get his perspective, we saw, is one way in Psalm 73. Take a look at Psalm 100. In Psalm 100, it says, it's a short psalm, we'll just read it here. Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. This is a psalm of worship, right? He's saying, you know, we're going to sing, we're going to worship. And then it says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. And so, you know, the thing I want to talk about there is that he says, we are the sheep of his pasture, right? And so what does the shepherd do with the sheep? Well, one thing he does is he guides them, right? He guides them. And that's one of the things that God will do as we continue to gather with him in corporate worship, as he will sometimes in the midst of worship, whether it be the preaching or the praying or the singing or the fellowship, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will help you make decisions and guide your life. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture, right? This is all within the context of entering his gates with thanksgiving, all in the context of worship. Now, you know, do you believe that God does, you know, we've talked about praying, we've talked about singing, We've talked a little bit about his word. Do you believe that God performs his work by his word? Okay. We're talking about God doing something in us when we gather together, right? And definitely one of the ways he's going to do that is by his word. Okay? He's going to do that by his word. Think about this. Jesus simply spoke and the seas were calmed. I mean, Jesus himself is called the Word of God, right? He spoke and the seas were calmed. He spoke and fevers left people, okay? Demons were cast out when he spoke. Sins were forgiven when he spoke. Blind people could see, right? When his word came to bear, the dead were raised. Lazarus, come forth. Right? God worked by the means of his word then, and he works by the means of his word now. How's he going to work in your life? He's going to work by his word. Okay, that's one of the ways. So when we gather together, yeah, one of the components, right, is his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, why don't you go there, in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3. So it's kind of weird, this is a message about a message. This is the message about this time, right? It's kind of strange. But it's important for us, right? Because if we don't have the right mindset, right, then, you know, that we can come as we are, We want God to work on us. We realize he wants to work on us, and this is a part of him doing that, right? We won't have the right view of why we would gather together. Why would we do that? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Well, there's a lot of change there, right? About talking about God's word, that he does his work through his word in our lives, in our hearts, right? All scripture is inspired by God, and he uses it to teach us stuff. He helps us see, right, when things are wrong. He shows us how to correct it when it's wrong, and he teaches us how to stay on the right path. All that from the Word of God. All of that, that's how he does his work in us, right? Through the Word, because his Word can do that. The Word of God is his agent of change, just like it was through Jesus, just like it is now. We have the Word of God right here. Right? We already know what he says. And he works through this. We learned last week, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Able to divide the soul and the spirit, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God works on the heart, right? The Word of God works on the heart. He does that with us privately when we meet with him, right? In the quiet of our homes or whatever, or in our truck before we go to work or whatever it might be. He can speak to us there, but he also does it corporately, right? In a way that's unique, okay? Right, we know it's not about this building, right? It's not about this building. This building is just a glorified pole barn out in the country. Literally, this one is. Okay? But what is it about the gathered church? Okay, it's different than what it was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was all about location, location, location. You know, God was in Jerusalem. The Lord, his presence was, you know, in the temple, right? Well, that's not the case anymore because of what Christ has done, right? Let's take a look here. First Corinthians chapter 3. First 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16 says, don't you realize that all of you, again, this is in the NLT, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Or an alternate translation is that he lives among you. Together you are, he says, together you are what? The temple of God. In other words, God dwells in our midst when we are gathered in a unique way. You know, some people get all, and I understand this, I respect this. Like, if you go to some churches, like when you're in the sanctuary, you don't talk, you don't run, you don't make any disturbance because that's where the presence of God is, right? And I understand that it's a respect, or it's maybe even an awareness that God is here, God is with us. I think that's a healthy thing, you know. I think you can take it to the wrong degree for sure, right? But I think if we took it right, it would be that this is the temple of God. Because we're gathered. We're God's people. If you know Christ as Savior, you're one of his people. And where we're gathered, we are collectively the temple of God. And I don't think I get that sometimes. I don't think we get that sometimes. Because if we really got it, we would say we are excited to be together because God is with us. He's among us. He's going to do some stuff in our hearts. You know, sometimes people get caught up on all the spectacular things that God can do. Is there anything wrong for wanting God to do incredible things? No. Is there anything wrong with wanting God to reveal himself to us, maybe in a way that would be, he would do miracles or heal people or whatever, set people free from things? No. Nothing wrong with that, right? But we have to realize, too, that, yeah, we should, it's fine to want that, it's fine to pray for that, but a lot of times, this is not an everyday occurrence, okay? And you can argue with people who say, well, that's because you're not believing, you don't have enough faith, and that's a whole other discussion, okay? But you could probably study historically the different revivals that have happened around the world, and you would see, you know what? The miraculous only carries the church so far. Okay? It's not going to take the ball across the line. Okay? And so where it's fine to want that, and for God heal me, God change me, you know, take this thing away from me, you know, we should come with expectation and prayer and desire and all kinds of things like that. You know, because when we gather, we are his temple together, right? And he wants to do things. He wants to change us, right? But the problem is, you know, we're praying for stuff and he's answering it. And we're not recognizing it. You know, that's why, you know, the people that they joke about it say, don't pray for patience, right? Because you're going to get lots of opportunity, right? And so, but the thing is, you know, we pray for different things and we're not really recognizing that God's doing this stuff in our lives. He's trying to change us. He's actually answering the prayer. It's just not the way we were thinking. But nonetheless, he wants to do things in us. He wants to change us, right? So, at the end of the day, it's really just about, you know, when we come together, what are you thinking? You know, what are you thinking? If there's an application for this message, it's going to be. Will I come, or do you come with the desire and the understanding that God wants to change you? Don't think about your spouse. Say, oh yeah, I got to get my husband to church because he really needs some change. Right? Or vice versa. And, you know, maybe that's true, but you let God take care of that, right? You're not the Holy Spirit. And so we come saying, God, would you change me? Right? Would you change me? Whatever that means. And I think that last phrase is the key. Whatever that means. Started off this message today talking about surrender. Whatever that means. Don't you put qualifiers on God. Because he will smack you down. All right? He'll find ways to put lovingly the hurt on you you never thought were possible until you surrender. Right? He does that in, I'm saying that in a mean way, but in a loving way, because any parent that loves their kids is going to discipline them. Really. Okay? You hate your kids if you don't. Right? Really. And so we have to come here saying, God, I know you want to do work in my heart to make me more like Christ. And I just give you the freedom, as if he needed it, to do it any way he wants. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, and just like we sang that song, we know you are a good father, and we know that every father wants to help their kids grow and to be healthy and to live a thriving life. Lord, we know that you want that for each and every one of your children, that you want to help us become more Christ-like. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to have a proper view of the gathering of your people, and that we would see it's not about what we're bringing you. It's about what you want to do in us as we gather together as the temple of God. And Lord, we pray, you know, if you want to do, you know, incredible, miraculous things or whatever, we you know, that's fine. But sometimes it's going to be in the quiet whisper of the Spirit that lives are going to be changed and our hearts are going to be changed. And Lord, I just pray for any one of us here where we are standing in the way, in a sense, where we are unwilling to change on something, that you would do whatever it takes in that person's life to make it so that we would be willing to do whatever you seem necessary to do in us, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would see that every prayer that we pray as we gather, every song that we sing, and every word that is shared, or scripture that's shared, and every bit of fellowship that we have really is and has the potential for you to do work in us. Lord, change our mind, change our thinking, change our paradigm. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.